This is Amarins. Hi again, and welcome to episode 68 of the Amarins podcast. It's Saturday, February 2nd, 2008. My name's Arthur, and I'm a gay American now living in New Zealand. Welcome. Sorry about the delay in getting this to you, but things just sort of came up, and I just didn't have time to podcast last night. No dramas in that. I just was, frankly, too busy. But I'm back today, and I've got a few things to go over with you today. New Zealand's clean and green is a bit faded. I'll tell you about that first. Then a New Zealand website has a bout of homophobia, while an American comedian will go pink for New Zealand. If you're happy and you know it, you're probably not 44. And I give you a chance to make fun of me. And finally, John Ong is everywhere. Now, the New Zealand government's report on the environment was just released. It's called Environment New Zealand 2007. And the last one was 10 years ago. And it found that things aren't all that great with the New Zealand environment. The key findings were that greenhouse gas emissions continue to rise, and agricultural land use has intensified with negative side effects, which includes those greenhouse gas emissions, and reduced water quality. There's greater demand on land from farming, particularly dairy farming, which has degraded water quality in a number of places throughout the country, and also is the largest single contributor of greenhouse gases in New Zealand. Also, New Zealanders were consuming more goods, driving more cars more often, and cars tended to be larger and older and use more energy. And, of course, native species remained in danger, especially the kiwi, which is in great peril still. On the other hand, there were some positive things. More people were using public transport. Energy use growth was at a lower rate than economic growth, which technically means that we're being more energy efficient overall. Waste management systems and recycling have improved. Ozone levels have stabilized, and ultraviolet levels have dropped. And more land and waters were protected, and pest management had made a difference to some native species doing better. Now, I talked a little bit about some of these before when I talked about that report ranking New Zealand seventh in the world on environmental indicators. But this is the New Zealand government's take on where the country is relative to the environment. And the thing of it is that the main stress, and I talked about this before when I talked about that report, the main stress is from agriculture. And New Zealand is an agricultural nation, so it's a very big deal. What happens in farming affects the entire country. But because New Zealand is so heavily dependent on agriculture, it's not really in a position to do anything to change things too much. There have been some moves to try to get dairy farming in particular to clean up their act, literally, including fencing off waterways so that stock can't get to them and do their business in the water. But that's only part of the solution. And at this stage, there certainly are no easy answers. But the government is moving toward introducing emissions testing in automobiles. Initially, kind of, it's not fully formed yet, because essentially they're just going to look and see if the car looks like it's smoking. But long term, there will be emissions tests. They're inevitable because they're almost everywhere, and it's one of the things that could go a long way toward both air quality and improving energy efficiency. If people, for example, were to have their cars properly tuned. And emissions tests are one way to do that, because cars in New Zealand, depending on the age, have to be tested once or twice a year for safety by law. And it's called a warrant of fitness, and the car has to pass that to be on the road. Well, it would be no big drama to add emissions testing at the same time, but unfortunately that would probably be through tailpipe tests, which have some problems with accuracy. But be that as it may, it's better than nothing. So I think that's probably the direction that we're ultimately headed. Now, the website thing was something I stumbled across by accident. In New Zealand, we have a press agency called the NZPA, which I think is New Zealand Press Association, I think it stands for. But it's essentially for news sharing among New Zealand media, and sometimes overseas. Now, the main news websites, which would be stuff.co.nz and the New Zealand Herald, carry these reports on their sites, and sometimes the reports are exactly the same. However, they might have different headlines, or they might include additional information, or maybe be edited down, you know, those kinds of things. There was an NZPA report that was published in both websites earlier in the week that said that a man was sexually attacked at a public toilet in Christchurch. Now, the New Zealand Herald website correctly headlined the story, "Man Sexually Attacked and Robbed in Toilet Block," but Stuff.co.nz headlined their version, "Manhunt for Toilet Block's Gay Sex Attacker." So I fired off a complaint to Stuff, and I pointed out that there's no such thing as a gay sex attack or even a homosexual sex attack, that sex attacks are the actions of violent, depraved individuals who may or may not be heterosexual or homosexual, because sex attacks are crimes of violence, not sex. And I said that by using the word gay, they were reinforcing negative stereotypes of gay men generally, including the myth that they prey on innocent victims. But the story also, both versions of the story, also indirectly quoted a police detective saying that the toilet block was not known to be a meeting place for homosexual liaisons. And I said that in that context, the headline reinforced this impression of violent intent because it suggests that homosexuals lurk in toilet blocks to assault men. And I just thought it was way, way off for them to be reporting in that way. Now, they haven't emailed me back, and I don't really think that I'm going to hear back from them, because in my experience, New Zealand journalists think that their excrement is non-odoriferous, and they always know better than everybody else, particularly non-journalists. So I don't think I'll ever hear back from them, but we'll see. Now, I frequently criticize the media on my blog, and in my view, obviously justifiably, but I've had personal run-ins with journalists here in New Zealand where I've basically called them on what I think is bad reporting, biased reporting, and I have been put down for it, essentially told that I don't know what I'm talking about. And there's an arrogance among some New Zealand journalists. I obviously haven't met all of them, but among the ones that I have met, there is a streak of arrogance in quite a few of them, where they seem to think that they are better than everybody else because they know things before anybody else. I mean, that's the way it looks to me. Maybe that's not at all what they're thinking. I'm sure they're really nice people underneath it all. But I do think that they should take the opinions of others a little bit more seriously than has been my experience. But on the more positive side, I saw also online that Kathy Griffin is going to be an air hostess, for real, on Air New Zealand's Pink Flight, which is going from San Francisco to Sydney for Sydney's Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. And it's leaving on February 26th. Now, the flight, there's a little bit of controversy in America when the flight was announced. First of all, they're calling it the Pink Flight, and that it features drag queens and pink cocktails and cabaret performed by the flight crew during the flight. And a lot of people were saying, oh, this is terrible. It shows that Air New Zealand hasn't researched their market, and, oh, this is just despicable. But quite frankly, I think that those people need to get over themselves, because it's just a bit of fun, for crying out loud. It's not meant to be that this is the way we will cater for gay travelers all the time. And it's also worth remembering that in this part of the world, drag performance is just part and parcel of the gay scene. I mean, remember, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert is an Australian movie. And it's not for nothing that it's Australian, because in both Australia and New Zealand, drag performance is an integral part of it. And people aren't so hung up about things like pink cocktails and even the name Pink Flight. But it actually sounds like it's going to be quite a lot of fun, although I personally, I'm obviously not going to be on that. There is a shorter version that's flying from Auckland to Sydney for that, apparently. And it's something that I believe I read that it was $1,000 from San Francisco to Sydney return, which was an excellent rate. I mean, we would pay more than that, $1,000 US. So if you have any inclination to go to the Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, which is a very big deal in Sydney, consider taking the Pink Flight if you are so motivated, because it actually sounds like it could be a bit of fun. Now, I suspect that Kathy Griffin will probably be working in first class, or business class or something, but hey, I don't know. Oh, that's the dog. Excuse me for a minute. I'm just going to go deal with that. Sorry about that. I just had Jake in here with me, and he wanted to get back out again. Now, when I talk about being happy and you know it, what that's actually referring to is a study that was released in the past week. You probably saw this in the media, that essentially found that there is a universal U-shaped curve in human happiness. And it starts, you know, you start out very, very happy, and then in your teens and 20s, it slowly starts to go down in your 30s, bottoms out around age 44, and then starts increasing again up until the 50s, 60s, and 70s. They didn't say anything about the 80s, so I don't know why that is. And there's a lot of theories for why that is. They think that by the time you reach your 40s, you realize you're not going to be the company CEO, and you have to sort of settle for the way things are, and there's quite a bit of adjustment that goes on with that. And then suddenly around 44, you realize, oh, it's okay, actually, and then you start feeling happier again. And many people I know in their 50s report being far happier than they ever were in their life, although maybe their maybe their memory is affected. But I just find that fascinating, that it seems to cross cultures, even income levels, all sorts of things like that, that it just seems to be this sort of universal human thing, pretty much. Because I think it was something like 80 different cultures that they studied. I can't remember the exact number. So essentially that means that there's light at the end of the tunnel, I suppose you could say, and that happiness does return even in middle age, or maybe in middle age it returns. But it'd be interesting to see if that plays out. I know that in my own life, when I was probably around 43-ish, was around the roughest time for me, and because I was in a job I didn't like anymore, and I felt trapped, and all those sorts of things that they talk about. But then we made a move down country, and I changed jobs and those kinds of things. And although part of it for me obviously was taking action, doing something about it, and that was a turnaround for me. And I probably am one of those who can say I've never been happier in my life, but I'm not in my 50s yet either. But I suppose that's a good sign for when I am. Something to look forward to, but we shall see. Now, there's a couple of podcasts I wanted to talk about. New Kids on the Block, you could say. Not the New Kids on the Block, because did you hear they're supposedly recording again? God help us all. But first was We're Mean Because You're Stupid, which is Walt and Fairy Princess Holly and Nessa, all of whom are on my Frapper map. And they had their first episode last week, and it was really good. And it's the sort of thing that, you know, when a bunch of people talk, it's often more interesting than when just one does. And so it'll be interesting to see where they take it over time. And I know that all podcasts get better as they go, and it's inevitably going to be better in future episodes. It'll improve over time, just as all podcasts do, mine included. I mean, when I listen to some of my early ones now, I almost cringe. But anyway, but it is a very good podcast, and there is a link on my blog, and I'll try to remember to put one in the show notes. So go check them out. They're new. One of the things I think is interesting is that all three of them have been longtime listeners of a variety of podcasts, including mine. And they've commented on various podcasts, and I've interacted with them in that area as well. And what I find fascinating is that they had this huge groundswell of support before they ever recorded their first episode. All these people, me included, were excited that it was happening. And I've certainly never seen anything like it. But it is interesting to me how there is a, for lack of a better word, a community among people who are into podcasting. Not just those who actually do the podcasts, but also the people who listen to them as well. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of good to see. But the other podcast I wanted to talk about is Big Fatty Online, which had its preview episode last week, and there is a story in there, as there often is with me. What happened was that I just posted my Tuesday episode of Amron's podcast, and one of the things I always do as soon as I do that is I go over to Technorati and I ping it. And for those of you who aren't into tech stuff, essentially what that means is you make Technorati go and look at your blog to see if you've posted new content. And the reason I do that is because that way, if somebody has, if they don't go to the blog, but they have a reader or they subscribe to the RSS feed or something like that, they will know that I've posted a new post, and in this case, a new podcast episode as well. And I don't know why exactly, but I was just sort of clicking around and I was seeing who was linking to my blog. And I noticed this new one from Big Fatty Online. I thought, what the heck is that? So I clicked on it and went over there and saw there was the beginnings of a website, and there was also a preview episode posted. So I downloaded it and listened to it, and I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. But I, of course, had already posted my episode. It was too late to add it to it. So I just put a post on my blog about how there was this the Big Fatty was back with a new podcast. And I emailed Archer, said, you probably already know about this, but I just thought I'd pass it along anyway. Well, as it happens, he didn't at that time. He knew it was in the works, and we all did, but didn't realize it was that far along. Now, Big Fatty had been doing some work with Tim Carmel of, there's some who call me Tim, and Go Rainbow Radio, to get everything set up and organized. And it wasn't actually quite intended for public release yet. And they actually released that more officially just this week on Tim's personal podcast called There's Some Who Call Me Tim, where he and Tim and Archer, Big Fatty Tim and Archer, were all together. And they talked about it in a bit more detail about what led to it and those sorts of things. So in a way, that was more of the official release of the podcast. So I sort of jumped the gun a little bit unintentionally, because I just assumed it was something that everybody else knew about, and I was among the last to know. Because something earlier had happened to me, something earlier that week, I think it was, or late last week, I can't remember, where I'm on this podcast, podcasters group on Yahoo, and somebody had mentioned that I think it was the makers of this thing, they'd made a podcast player for Facebook. We could put it on your Facebook profile, so you can put any podcasts or just your own if you're a podcaster. So I went over there and added it and thought, well, I'll try it out for a bit and then maybe tell some, share my experiences, that kind of thing. Didn't think anything more about it. And then a few days later, Tristan from Jaded City posted something on the Gay Podcasters group on Yahoo, which I'm also part of, saying, hey, this is now available. And all of a sudden, these podcasters are saying, oh, thank you for that, because nobody knew about it. And I thought, I never am the first person to know about anything. So to have it happen twice within basically a week's time was really extraordinary, because I am almost always the last to know about anything. But which is all long the story. But I just thought it was unusual to be the first to know. But I did listen to the preview episode, and I thought Big Fatty did really well. And his first real episode, I believe, he's planning on releasing around the time of the Super Bowl, which, if I'm not mistaken, is this coming Sunday, which is Monday here in New Zealand, of course. I'm not positive about that, though, because I don't really follow American sports anymore, apart from the elections. And I should probably comment on that, but I've got something about that later on. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Frapper map. Not that there's anybody new on it necessarily, but there's a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to actually take the map off my blog along with a bunch of other widgets, and I'll put a link on it so that anybody who wants to can put a pin on it, but they'll have to go to the Frapper map site to do it. And the reason I'm doing it is because it's come to my attention that my blog is taking too long to load. And so I'm going to start taking off these widgets, and that will probably be the first one, and then I'll do some others. I'll do the others down the road. I'll just sort of, you know, see how they go. So if you do want to put a pin on my Frapper map in the next week or so, that would be a really good time to do it, because probably it'll probably be the end of next week. I'll actually move it. And so if you've ever been inclined to do it, this is a good week to put a pin on my Frapper map. But Frapper, and Michael from QCast has mentioned this in the past, it doesn't always put the pictures of new people up at the top. It sometimes buries them in the list, and so sometimes they're easy to miss. So, for example, I did see this one, but I'm not sure if I mentioned it before. David from that Blue Jeans guy put his pin on my Frapper map, and I don't know if I've acknowledged it before, but if I didn't, thank you, David. But also there was Frank D., who had put his pin and photo on my map as well, and I just didn't see it because it was down below. So thank you, Frank. Thank you for putting your pin on my map. And among the non-photo pins, you know, just as a little drawing of the people, was Caroline from, or maybe it's Caroline, whichever, from Trondheim Sor Trondelag, Norway. So welcome, Caroline, or Caroline, however you pronounce it. And that brings me to, in a roundabout kind of way, iTunes reviews. And I'm going to give you a chance to make fun of me. I obviously do appreciate every 5-star review I get. On Archer's group show this week, Chef Mark was basically, not belittling exactly, but expressing amazement that everybody seems obsessed by this. Well, in my case, I'm on the front page of the iTunes personal journals category in the iTunes store in the U.S., and I have picked up some new listeners as a result of that. There's no doubt about it. And welcome, by the way. But I'm not going to be on the front page forever. There's some popular podcasts that are coming along. Big Fatty will be one of them, and so will We're Mean Because You're Stupid, I think, and some others. And so I think inevitably I'm going to be pushed off the front page, which is fine. I mean, it's not the end of the world, is it? That's where I was all this time beforehand. But I'd like to stay as long as possible, as you would. So if you wouldn't mind leaving me a 5-star review, I would deeply appreciate it because it'll keep me there just a little bit longer. And Nessa was my latest review, which brings me now to 15. Thank you very much, Nessa. And I've also noticed that many of you have gone and done the other thing I asked, which is to, the little thing by each of the reviews, it says, was this review helpful? And I asked you to click yes. And many of you have done that. Thank you very much for doing that because that also helps. And you don't have to log in or anything to do that. And you can do that in any country's store, by the way. You don't have to do it just in the U.S. And in case you've never visited another country store, all you have to do is on the main page of your iTunes store, you go down to the very bottom and then it shows you the country. You just click on that and then choose a different country to go visit. And you can see what they've got on offer. You can also go to my podcast page there. You can't leave a comment if you're not registered in that store, but if there is a comment there, you can say that it was helpful. And doing that would be helpful, by the way. So, at the moment, Australia and Germany are still the only two countries where I have reviews besides the U.S. Now, I actually checked this night before last, and so I presume this hasn't changed, but that's the way it was. That I only had two other reviews outside of the U.S., one in Australia and one in Germany. And thank you very much for that, guys. But that also means that there are a lot of opportunities for those of you who live outside the U.S. to add 5-star reviews. There's Austria and Switzerland, for instance, where apparently it's eine Rezension schreiben, or apparently. In France, you can soyez la première à donner votre avis, or something like that. In Italy, you can scrivi la première recensione. In España, you can say el primero en escribir una reseña. Now, I don't know what any of those words mean. Well, I do know what some of them mean. But I thought I'd give you native speakers the opportunity to laugh at my mangling of your language. But in addition to those countries, there are Denmark, Finland, Greece, Japan, Sweden, Norway, and Portugal. I don't have any reviews in any of those countries, nor in countries that I've actually been to, like Canada, Belgium, Ireland, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, and the United Kingdom, of course. And I am also missing reviews from New Zealand. Now, I could put one in New Zealand myself, but I think it's a bit tacky to make the first review your own, although I noticed that Fairy Princess Holly did it on their podcast site, I think. I think she was the first. So maybe that makes it okay. I haven't decided yet. Let me know, because I'm not above putting my own review on my own iTunes store. But anyway. But in the process of this, looking at all of these stores, and by the way, it is the first time I've ever gone to each and every store, iTunes store that I have access to, which I presume is all of them, I've just never looked before. And it was kind of interesting to see the different songs that are featured, and a great many of them are in English, regardless of what the native language is, it's still in English. And I was actually almost more fascinated by that, which ones used another language and which ones didn't. Austria and Switzerland were both in English, interestingly. But anyway, but as I was doing this, I also started looking through the personal journals featured podcasts. And if you've ever looked at it, you can click on See All, and it goes through, I think it's the top 100 podcasts in that category or subcategory. And on each country I looked at, there was only one gay podcast that was in every country, and that was John Ong's online podcast. He is absolutely everywhere, literally. Now, he doesn't necessarily have reviews in all those countries, And he doesn't actually have all that many in the U.S. either, I noticed. Reviews, I mean. But his podcast is absolutely everywhere. And I don't know what his secret is, but he obviously has listeners all over the world. I've been told that the secret to having a high listing in iTunes is to have people subscribe and unsubscribe frequently. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but something that John is doing is certainly working well for him because he is in all these stories. He's not necessarily on the front page in all countries or even in the first few pages, but he is the only one that I saw that was in every single country I looked at, which I thought was absolutely fascinating. Now, there are a couple of things that I wanted to mention to you. I did tell you that I'm going to be cleaning up the widgets on my blog to make it load faster. I actually have two email addresses that I've never used, which you're welcome to use if you want to. The first is arthur@amarins.com, and you can use that to send me a personal email if you want to. That's not for not for reading on the podcast. And the other is called comment@amarins.com. And my original intention was that if you wanted to comment by email, that you could just email me at that address and I would know that it was for reading on the podcast and I wouldn't have to think twice about it. Because when I was using the Yahoo email address, there's always this question of, well, do they mean for me to read this on the podcast or is it just to me? And I thought I would set up these two addresses on my domain to make it simpler. Now, I haven't used any of those addresses, obviously. I've never mentioned them before, but they are there. You're welcome to use them if you want. I will check them certainly before recording the various episodes, but let's just try them and see how they go. Again, to send me a personal email, send it to Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at amarins.com, A-M-E-R-I-N-Z. Or you can send a comment, that's comment singular, comment@amarins.com. And of course, you can still use the amarins@yahoo.com if you want. That's perfectly okay. And of course, always feel free to leave a comment on my blog, which is at amarins.com. And you can ring my U.S. listener line on 206-339-8413. One last thing before I go. On Thursday, February 7th, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's Eastern U.S. Standard Time, I'm going to be recording another political podcast with Jason and with Archer. We're going to take a look at where things stand after Super Tuesday, because by then things will be much clearer. And we'll just sort of, you know, put our perspective on things and talk about things political. But you're welcome to join if you'd like to. It will be over Skype. Ideally, you should have a microphone and headphones or a headset, whichever. Speakers and the built-in mic tend not to work as well. But if you have ever sat and watched Anderson Cooper or somebody else and thought to yourself, you know, found yourself screaming back at the television, well, this is sort of your chance to put your two cents in, to talk about things political. We're opinionated. There's no reason why you can't be. And if you're interested in that, as I say, it's going to be on Thursday, the 7th of February, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the U.S. Don't worry about time conversions. I'll take care of all of that. As long as it's Eastern Standard Time in the U.S. that you're looking at. And but if you're interested, by all means, join. There will only be a few spots available, obviously, because of Skype issues, just like Archer does in his group shows. I do have to limit it. And if you're really, really keen to be on it, just go ahead and email me, and I'll be sure to set aside a ticket for you. A golden ticket, as Archer calls them. But by all means, feel free to join us if you would like to. You're more than welcome. Otherwise, that podcast will be posted on later that day, that evening or that night, I should say, probably, U.S. time. And so you can look for that as the podcast, my Friday podcast for that week. But that is it for this episode of the Amarins Podcast. I will be back on Tuesday with a normal episode. And then, of course, on Friday is the political episode, which we'll be recording. And on Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the Eastern Standard U.S. time. But that's it for this episode. I'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.
Sandman.